ask that you would bring your spirit of wisdom and revelation, open our eyes to see who you are, and enlighten our hearts to grasp who we are in you and what you have for us, Jesus. In your name, amen. So I've been thinking a lot about like who we are in Christ, and a while ago, actually, me and my dad watched a movie, which it wasn't that great, and he actually can't stand this movie, but it's about like another planet and all these, like a different group of people, and it was an interesting movie, but it got me thinking about like what it says in Peter and other places, like we're sojourners, we're passing through, and how like we're humans, but we're not from earth, we're from a heaven. Like in Ephesians, it says our citizenship is in heaven. And how does that like play out in our lives and how we see ourselves, how it defines how we act and how we respond to people and how we portray Jesus. And so the more that we read the Bible and the more that God breathes on it and the more that we understand it, the more we become it, or the more that we take seriously what Jesus says about us, and that changes our entire lives. That changes our responses. And in Timothy and Titus, it starts, like the greetings start off, and there's this phrase that I've always marveled over. It says, the truth which accords with godliness. Meaning like if you believe the truth, you'll become more godly and more godly and more godly, because you're technically a descendant of God. Like we're all children of God, which is basically what the Bible says from beginning to end. But if we take this personally, then we have the opportunity to become like God and think like God and act like God. And so the more we see ourselves the way he sees us, the easier it is to be like him rather than trying to be better or trying to do things differently. It just flows naturally. Probably years ago, there was a Chris Valentin teaching, and he said something like, don't consistently do what you don't believe you are. And so if you try to do something, if you try to be kind, but you don't believe that God created you to be kind, or you don't see that like God has put his kindness inside of you and he's called you to be kind, then it'll always be an act, and it'll always be like trying to bite your tongue or trying to live outside of what you believe you are. But if you believe that you're kind and God's created you to be kind, and when you look in the mirror, you see a kind person, you'll just naturally be kind to the people around you. That's just one of like 10,000 examples of different things that we could say for each of us. But I was reading about Abraham earlier this week, and like God came and made a covenant with him. The story is amazing, and how the genealogy of God passing through generation to generation. But the first covenant that God makes with Abraham, well, I don't want to say the first because he only makes one, but like the covenant gets passed down. So the beginning of the covenant starts with like, this will be a sign that you're my people, that the covenant of circumcision. So he says, gather all the men and circumcise them, blah, blah, blah. But in the New Testament, in Colossians, excuse me one sec because I have it marked, in Colossians 2, verse 11, I'm going to read it in one second. But in the New Testament, there's the new covenant which God has made with us, which is not like the old covenant, but there's the same thing. There's the sign of circumcision in the new covenant. And I'm going to read it real fast. It says, this is Colossians 2, verse 11. It says, in him, meaning Jesus, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that it was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And so the new symbol of covenant with God, like the new people will know that we're God's people, is not because we've been circumcised physically, but we've been circumcised spiritually, meaning like God cuts away all the sin, all the stuff that was distorting the image of God in us. God cut it away. At least that's what it's saying here. And this is so important, for us as Christians. Like if we would see that we've been freed from whatever it is, I don't want to say like addictions, but that applies too. But if we would see that we've been freed from like hardness of heart, we've been freed from attitude, we've been freed from alcoholism, we've been freed from cursing, we've been freed from selfishness, we've been freed from anxiousness, from fear. If we would realize that, like when we pledged the covenant to God, or when He pledged the covenant to us, but when we said yes to that covenant, like we were cut, the mark of the covenant, we were, all that was cut away, and so now we're different people, as it says in Corinthians, we're new creations. Behold, if anyone is in Christ, he's a brand new creation. And so, like if we don't believe that, then we can't walk that out. In Proverbs, it says like as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Al is always talking about this, and it's so important. Like if you believe that you're righteous, then you'll probably go out and walk righteous. If you believe that you're holy, then it probably won't be hard to be holy in your lifestyle, whether you're behind closed doors or whether you're out in front of people. If you believe that you're not from this world, it probably won't be hard for you to behave like you're not from this world. Like if you believe, and I don't mean like in a weird way, but like I believe that I'm not from this world, and not in some sense like I'm better than you or this and that, but just like there is something divine about me. Well, In my personal belief is that we're all 100% divine. So if you walked around thinking that you're 100% divine, you can't work in it not be divine. You can't sleep in it not be divine. You can't whatever, breathe in it not be divine. Whatever it is that you're doing, you can't cut the lawn and some part of it not be divine or supernatural. And so with that, that doesn't mean like you're perfect, you'll never make a mistake. In fact, in Philippians, Paul says, this one thing I do consider, forgetting what lies behind. So like he's saying, like every now and again, you'll stumble, but just like it's behind you now. So you might as well keep on looking forward to what's ahead, which means you can grow and be better in that area. But with that, the more that you believe what God says about you, the more that you're free to walk it out and you become it. And the more that the enemy flees. In James, it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So the more that you submit to God, and what that looks like is believing what God says about you, taking this personal and saying like, yeah, I don't really feel righteous, or I don't really feel holy, or my past doesn't say that I'm holy or righteous or any of the things that I'm reading currently, but this is who God says I am. The more that you submit yourself to that and surrender to that and believe that, the more you start to understand that and become it, and the more the devil flees, because he's nervous that you're seeing what God says about you. And what God says about us is the most important thing on the planet. It's something that we cover a lot here, but the importance of it is so great because it can't be taken away. Like if someone was to come up to you and just tell you everything you're not, if you will, like you're terrible, blah, 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 you're garbage, this, or somebody, your boss has a bad day at work, or just says something, all the stuff that's not true, nobody can touch the fact that Jesus is the opposite. Meaning like if you believe that God says you're loved, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross specifically for you, if you believe all these amazing things that the Bible promises, that you've been set apart, that you've been called by name, that you're a holy generation, that you're a royal priesthood, that you're a daughter, a son, all these things. If you're taking all this stuff personal in your heart, then nobody has access to that. So somebody can come up and say the meanest things about you and it won't even affect your heart because it's not true. Like that's not true. You don't believe that. They might believe that, but it doesn't affect what you believe, and it doesn't affect what God has sown into your heart. And I think that as a body, this is really important for us because I don't know, like it's just all over the place. People are just wishy-washy, if you will, for lack of a better term. Like people don't know what they stand for. People don't know who they are. People don't know where they're going or what they're doing, but we have like this solid foundation. And actually, speaking of that direct phrase, it's like the solid foundation of God stands, that those who trust in the name of the Lord our God, they would depart from the iniquity, and the Lord knows all those who are his. Those are two things that it says in Timothy. And so they would depart from iniquity, which means like they would no longer listen to the stranger's voice. All that stuff that they came out of, that they used to, it's been cut off, like we read in Colossians. It's gone. It's been destroyed, if you will, on the cross. And now we're new creations, and so we have this firm grounding as a Christian. We're rooted and grounded in the fact that he loves us, and now we're something new. And so it's constantly, it's so joyful and exciting. You know, something that I always mess around with my sisters is they're always like looking in the mirror. When I'm looking in the mirror, like they're always either fixing their hair or something. And women do that. I get that. I'm not saying anything against that. But I'm always like, do you like what you see or something like that? I'll be like, Halasa, like it's not going to change no matter how many times you brush your hair or something like that. And it's not like I'm definitely not making fun of her. But like if you don't like what you see in the mirror, it's because you believe lies about yourself because God loves you and like he created you and you're awesome in his sight. You know, almost a year ago, I had this revelation when I was somewhere. And when Jacob was in the wilderness, he had a dream with God and all this cool stuff happened. But he woke up and he said this phrase that really struck me. He said, behold, I was unaware God is in this place. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. How about you look in the mirror every morning and say, wow, how awesome is this place? And point at yourself. This is none other than the house of God. That would change the way you think about your day. It would change how you would respond. It would change how you see yourself, and you'd walk around like, wow, I'm a house of God. So anything that doesn't belong in a house of God, whether it's a thought, whether it's whatever it is, it would bother you, or you'd be like, I can't do that. It doesn't belong in the house of God. And for me, that is something like really important because for everybody, but this is the way I think personally, like everywhere you go, people are watching your life. And so they're looking at you to see if you have something they don't. And they're looking at you to see if Jesus is real. And not in the sense that like people are thinking that, but they're looking for something that is greater than what they have. Because everybody's tired and weary if you're not in Christ. And so it's just like a thing where people are looking at your life. And especially if you profess being a Christian, like, do you have the Jesus that we read about? Are you actually different? Or is it just a confession and you attend church on Sunday? In 2 Corinthians 5, a really well-known chapter, at the end of it, it says, like, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And this is, like, a really awesome statement. It's something that I think about a lot, actually. But so, Jesus, who is perfect, spotless, blameless, without sin, never said or did anything wrong. He became sin so that we might become that righteousness. So not only do we have God's righteousness, which is a whole lot. Like if you were to just think about that for a minute, like you're God's righteousness in the flesh, your perfection in the flesh. Not that you're going to be perfect and do everything right, but I'm saying like because of the blood of Jesus, which cleanses every ounce of sin, everything you've ever done wrong, everything you've ever thought about doing wrong, everything you plan to do wrong, whatever it was, it's all been washed and cleansed and completely done away with. And that is really powerful if you would just dare to believe that you're God's righteousness. But also what it's saying is that Jesus became sin on the cross. And what happened to Jesus on the cross was he died. So sin was crushed on the cross. So everything you've ever struggled with that wasn't helping you out in life, or everything you've ever, anywhere you've ever felt fell short has been crushed, which means you've been freed from it. And so As Christians, we need to understand that and believe that, because it's not always, like sometimes the things that we're struggling with have already been defeated and we just don't understand that. And I think for me personally, it took a long time to start realizing that stuff, like this, all the stuff that we could struggle with has been crushed. Like Jesus, for lack of a better word, like destroyed it, whooped it, you know, like he beat it straight up. Like, and so it's so powerful to get that in here, because like we said in the beginning, the truth accords with godliness. So the more truth I get in here, the more godly I get out here, the more godly I get up here, the more godly I am in my soul. And then I'm not trying to be better. The person next to me just gets what I have, because that's what I have. I have God in my heart. I have God in my mind. I have God in my thoughts. I have God in my ear. Like all these different things, it just begins to flow naturally, rather than like, well, I should be kinder, I should be this, rather you just look in the mirror like, wow, I'm a kind person. It's who God says I am. Like, there is grace in Christ Jesus for me to be kind, even in crazy circumstances. Kind of like the declarations we say on Sunday, like the more you believe them, the more you manifest them out in the open, and it just becomes naturally like who you are. And for me, I think it's the most important thing. And as a body, I think for us, it's the most important thing we can do is to dare to take God seriously, is to really like, this is who you say I am, no ands, ifs, or buts. And I think one of the things that is the hardest is feelings. even that I've counted in my own life, like feelings will try to say otherwise. Like the Bible will say, you're holy, blameless, and above reproach, which is something it says in Colossians. And I've probably read it a million times is a lot, but a lot of times. And it's so important that we would believe that we're holy, blameless, and above reproach because of what the blood of Jesus did, because we are. But with that comes like the days where you wake up and you feel like you're the opposite of holy, blameless, and above reproach. But instead of being discouraged and walking around like, this can't be right, it ought to inspire you. Like, this must be right, otherwise I wouldn't be feeling the opposite. It's just something to distract you, if you will, or kind of try to unknow what God is saying. But really, it ought to solidify what God is saying. Because the perspective that we need to have is that the fact that I'm feeling resistance against the message proves that the message is true. And that I'm starting to believe it, and that the devil is afraid that I'm believing God because he knows how powerful believing God is and trusting in God is. Something that also really touched me at one point was in Hebrews, I think it's 12, towards the end of 12, it says that Cain murdered Abel, and that the blood of Jesus speaks better things than Abel's blood. So if you've ever seen anybody murdered or watched a movie murdered, like the blood on the ground testifies that that person is a murderer. Like Abel's blood on the ground, God came to Cain and said, where is your brother? What have you done? Because Abel's blood was testifying that Cain was a murderer because he had killed him. And so the blood on the ground proved that Cain murdered him. But what it's saying here is that Jesus's blood on the ground, because of the way God set it up and Jesus was the sacrificial lamb, actually testifies the opposite about you and me. So the blood of Jesus on the ground, meaning like after he was killed, testifies that we're righteous. And it sounds so like simple in my head, but I don't know, like when you understand it in your heart, it just becomes like a big deal. Like the fact that Jesus was killed and shed his blood, it testifies to the fact that you're righteous. And it's the only murder, if you will, that ever brought life. And I think it's really important that we understand that, like what the blood of Jesus has done for us and how it has set us free, not only in our hearts, but in our physical lives and in our minds. And we're finally free to be who God says we are. We're finally free to live a life worthy of the call, as Paul would say in Ephesians, to live supernaturally. And I don't mean like signs, wonders, and miracles, although I'm all for that. I mean like supernaturally, like above the human standard, where like, people are all over the place. We don't have to be all over the place. We can be rooted and grounded. Or people are or off in left field or right field. We can be right where God says we're supposed to be. Or people are turning aside to lies and calling things that aren't truth. We don't have to do that. We can be solid and in truth and remain the same even in difficult circumstances because God's voice is never changing. God is always the same. And I'm not talking about like actually hearing God's voice. I'm talking like the word is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's always going to say the same thing. And this like really means something to me. Like when I'm struggling or when I'm, if you will, taking lies personal every now and again or thinking something that God's not saying about me, every time I open the Bible, it says the same exact thing. You're holy, blameless, and above reproach. You're called to be a holy priesthood, a royal generation, you know, like, and it always, like, God is, like, constantly saying that same thing. And if we let that, like, in our hearts, it so destroys or brings to a screeching halt all the lies of the enemy, all feelings, all those things that try to stumble us or get us to turn aside or get us to take something personal that's not personal or get us to be afraid. Or anxious or worry or like, am I really free or was I really forgiven of all my sin, this and that? It silences all that stuff. When I first started, I mentioned the covenant, that the sign of the covenant was circumcision and how the sign of the new covenant is that we've been circumcised, but in the flesh, like God has cut away all that was distorting the image of who we are as his children. And it's so important, but in another scripture, it says it like this in Hebrews, which is actually quoting Jeremiah, but it says it like, in that day, it says, none shall teach his brother and none shall say to his neighbor, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. So we have this one-on-one relationship with Jesus now. We don't have to go through a high priest, yada, yada. But it says, in that day, I will write my laws in their hearts and in their minds. And this is that. This is saying the same thing as what Colossians said. Like, in that day, the sign of the covenant will be that you're totally different. It's not going to be a mark on your body. It's going to be that my law is not something you follow anymore. It's something that you are. My law is not something that you do anymore. It's something that's engraved in your mind. And then he goes and on to say something even more amazing. He says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more, which means everything we ever did wrong, all the past, even the old past law of living that way, of trying to do good or be better people, has been crushed and all that has passed away. And so as Christians, we need to pursue that reality, because the reality of is that will bring the change that we desire. Like, if you want to change work, like where you work, be the change that you want to be. But the way that you be the change that you want to be is letting God transform you through his word. It's taking personal every scripture that you see, if you will. I like to dwell on the same scripture for weeks at a time, or sometimes longer than that, but just constantly, like, this is who I am. This is who God says I am. And to look in the mirror and think, like, man, I'm 100% divine, or I'm God's righteousness. Like, some of it doesn't even make sense. Like, I'll say it and I'll be like, I don't even know what I'm saying. But other things, like, the more I take it, the joy that it brings in your heart when you believe it is incredible. Like, I can't share it any other way, is that, like, the more that you believe who God says you are, one, nobody can take it away, but two, it just brings, like, such boldness and courage and excitement when you think about yourself, because you genuinely love yourself, because you see what God says about you. You see what God sees when you see you. And that's so important in a world where everybody, like, can't stand themselves or is trying to find identity through clothing or people they hang around with or money or a job or all this stuff. And all that stuff is going to change. In fact, something that I'm really hard on is, like, all that stuff is going to burn. Like, in the end, it's all going to burn. It says everything that's not God or of God is going to burn to the ground in moments. And I don't necessarily think of, like, that's terrifying, but in the sense of, like, it won't stand in that day. It won't stand in that day. And so you're putting in trust in something that's virtually going to crumble anyway. So get your trust in something that's not going to crumble, and it'll change your life. And so as believers, we have this opportunity to get in the word and just maybe just pick one scripture or a chapter or whatever it is, and just speak it over yourself and believe it over yourself, or get on your knees and ask God to make it your reality. You know, like, ask the Lord to come and do what he always wanted to do inside of you. I was actually talking with Marissa, she's not here today, but a while ago, maybe like a couple of weeks ago, and Hannah on the porch, and we were talking about God's Generals. It's a book about heroes of the faith from the 1900s, and she was telling me, like, oh, you should read it, and I actually have read it before, but then we were discussing some of it, but I went back to read, like, a certain chapter, because there's some people in there that I really love reading about, like, people who really took God seriously and went after Jesus. And one of the guys in the book, he got really sick before he became, like, a great minister, and he was going to die. And then one day he was reading his Bible, and, like, he realized that, like, if God's desire was complete in his life, he would be healed. Like, if God had his way, he would be healed, because God's desire is that we would be healed, and that we would be whole, and that we'd be full of life, and that we'd be righteous like he is, and all these different things. But he specifically focused in on the healing. And when he realized that, like, God's desire was so strong for him to be healed, he submitted to it. He's like, wow, that's awesome. Like, I'm in. He was instantly healed. And it's a great testimony. I forget what he was sick from, but something that would kill you. But with that, if you were to realize how strong God, and by you, I mean us, if we were to realize how strong God's desire is for the word to be our life, for what you read about in the New Testament, Old Testament too, but the New Testament talks a lot about, like, your conduct as Christians and who we are as believers. And now that Jesus has come and the cross has been finished and sin has been put away, if we would understand that and believe that, it would change us so much. If we would surrender and realize that, like, two things that were mentioned was, like being set on fire. If we would realize that God is a consuming fire, and all he wants to do is consume us with truth, because that brings out the best in us. The very best version of us is what he thinks about us and his heart for us. And if we would just realize that desire and yield ourselves to it, I think we'd be amazed at how much different we'd be overnight, if you will. Not to say that you get up the next day and you're different, but God begins to shift the way you think. He begins to shift the motives of your heart and all this stuff because he has this great desire for you to be amazing. He has this great desire for you to be supernatural in your life. He has this great desire for you to stand out. Like in Song of Solomon, it says, my beloved is chief among 10,000. We're like, that's the way God thinks about you, where he knows who you are and how great you are, that you stand out apart from everyone else. And not to say like you're better than anybody else, because it's not a I'm better message because of what God says to me, like, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm better than this person. The reality is you just believe what God's saying about you. They don't. If they did, they'd be just as great as you are, and you'd understand that they're just as great as you are. So like when people, like at work, I work really hard, and people like every now and again, like, dude, you're awesome, you're amazing. And I believe that stuff about myself. So I'm like, thank you. I would always say, like, you're just as amazing as I am. You just don't believe it. Like, that's the way I think, because then it's an even playing field. Nobody's better than you. Nobody's less than you. Everybody's all the same, because we are all the same. We're all children of God. Whether they believe that they're called or they're not, everybody who's ever been born is God's child. They just either don't know it or they refuse to believe it. And so it levels the playing field, and it becomes about what Christ did rather than like, arrogance or pride, if you will. So I'm awesome because I believe that Jesus loves me. But if you would believe how much Jesus loves you, you'd be just as awesome. And it doesn't mean that you'd be like me specifically, because you have your own character or personality. It just means that you'd be supernatural and your life would be a real testimony of what Jesus can do because you take him seriously, just like I take him seriously. And so then everywhere people go, they know who the real Christians are, because those people are taking God seriously and they're different because of it. They're different because they believe God. They're different because the hope that God's put inside them isn't a once a week Sunday service or a nice like daily reminder scripture. It's something that's inside of them. They live it, they breathe it, they believe it, they understand it, they think about it, they meditate on it. They're constantly like, wow, this is who I am. Thank you for making me into a new creation. Thank you for cleaning up my life, for all these different things. And it just becomes the reality that you walk in. So then you have that to offer to your neighbor. You have, when other people are being scoffers and mockers, you can't scoff and mock. You show mercy. When other people are making fun of other people, you can't laugh along with them, because it bothers you, because you know that you were once a mess and a wreck till God touched your life. And so you understand that that person's life just needs a touch from God. And so you have compassion and you have genuine care about them rather than being scornful towards them. And so as Christians, it's really important that we harbor the word in our heart. You know, in Proverbs, all throughout Proverbs, actually, it says like, it basically says like in our English today, like take the word of God personally, but it says like bind it around your neck, write it on the tablet of your heart, keep your heart with all diligence, keep mercy and truth, do not let them forsake you. And every single one comes with a promise, and most of the promises go like this. It will be health to your bones and strength to your flesh. It will be like a fruitful vine or a fruitful tree. It'll bring length of days, all these different things. And so it's saying like the more that you take God personally and believe what he says, the more fruitful your life will be. I don't necessarily say like the longer you'll live, but the more life you'll have as you live, the more impact that you'll make, the more different that you'll be, the more of a fountain of life you'll be. In fact, Jesus says it so well. It says, he who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Bless you. And this is something, again, that I've thought about and meditated. It doesn't say like, he who believes in me, as your pastor has said, and that's nothing against our pastors, they're awesome, but it says, he who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, no ands, ifs, or buts. Meaning like, if you believe what this is saying, out of your heart has to come rivers of living water. And so what greater charge than to be like, God, help me believe this. Like, I don't care what other people are believing. I don't care if the entire world is upside down and saying that Romans 1 and all these other scriptures are false, or the gospel needs to be updated or whatever like that. Like, I want to believe the truth, because the only way that the people next to me are ever going to get you is if I believe the truth. Because if I compromise, then people are going to see compromise and they'll never want you. It's actually something that I was really touched by last week, but it's something that I think about a lot. And it's like, it's a revelation that I've had, but but it doesn't really correlate to the scriptures. So Jesus is going to the cross, and he says this phrase, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." And he's talking about being nailed onto the cross and crucified. He's going to draw people to the Father. And he does, and it's true. But like a revelation inside of that that I've had before is like, if we will lift Jesus up, everybody would want him. Like in Psalms, and it quotes it somewhere else, it says, from that time on, he's waiting till his enemies become his footstool, Jesus. Footstools do what? This is like night and day for me. Footstools lift people up. So if you and I, as enemies of God, as we were at one point in our life, would yield and become footstools, and everybody here most likely has. If you're here, you've given your life to Jesus. If you haven't, you should. But you've become a footstool, which means you exalt God. Like you are what lifts Jesus up for everybody to see him. And so I think that way, one, but the reality of that for us as believers is that not only do we get to lift Jesus up, which is awesome because it's so cool when we see him out in the open, whether through miracles or just jobs or all this amazing stuff, it's incredible to watch God do what he's doing, but everybody wants him then. Like if you can be humble enough to submit and say, like, God, yes, I'm in, and become a footstool, then your neighbor's going to be like, I got to have Jesus. Because if he's lifted up, he'll draw all men unto himself. And so it's a wonderful message that changes our lives, but it's a no-pressure message, meaning, like, all you have to do is just be willing. Because it doesn't say, like, if you try hard and pray for the sick and they get healed and all this yada, 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 people will want God. All it says is if you just become a footstool and let Jesus shine through your life in simple day-to-day ways, he'll draw people to himself. The people that you're praying for will want Jesus or will want to get saved. The people that you see are struggling in your life and who you've prayed a lot of prayers for, they'll genuinely want Jesus because you've been lifting him up, and they see him in your life, and they see something that you have, or they understand and saw when you weren't free and now you're free in this area, or you were way out in left field and now you're right where God wants you, and it's different and something's different about you. And so they need that in their life, and they know that it's possible because you live it out. And so as Christians, we have this wonderful opportunity, and I would just challenge all of us to take God seriously, to go in your room when no one's looking and ask the Lord to make you a believer. That the things that are in this book wouldn't be words on a page or a nice sermon or like a little encouragement. And I'm so fond of the Bible, like it's super encouraging. But it needs to be more than just like an encouraging, like, he loves you. It needs to be like, wow, like the creator of the universe is infatuated with me, and like real heart knowledge where you believe it. And so the more we take that personally, the more we have like tangible God to give away. And so as believers, I think this is the direction that we need to lean into, that we need to press into, is letting God's thoughts and his desires and his heart and his voice become our reality or transform us, if you will. And so I would just challenge you, we're about right on time, that we'd close with this, that I would challenge you, like when you have 2 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever it is, when you get ready in the bathroom in the morning, when you use the bathroom at work, just ask the Lord to pick a scripture and ask the Lord to help you become it, to help you believe it, to help it alter your heart and your mind, that it would affect the world around you. Because if it infects you, it'll infect everybody around you because it spreads. And that's just how it works. So God, we just come before you and we thank you for what you've done on the cross, that you cut away all sin in this new covenant with circumcision, Lord, that you removed it and got rid of it so that we could be free from it, and that you forgave us of all of it so there's no record of it, Lord. Help us to understand and grasp these truths. Holy Spirit, come and breathe on these things in our hearts, that we would be completely supernatural and divine people everywhere we go, that we would think this way, that we would act this way, that we would respond this way, Lord, that love would dominate us and compel us and just transform us, that we would be a living testimony, God, that in all things we would lift you up so that others can see you, so that others can want you, that we could be the best image of who you are, that we could be literally the express image of who you are to a dying and lost generation. In Jesus' name, amen.